Well, even as Washington finally reaches that deal over the debt ceiling to avert a crisis, the last crisis, that housing crisis, slogs on. More than 2 million people are in foreclosure so far this year, and the number of pending foreclosures is at an historic high. The Obama administration tried to help with the Home Affordable Modification Program, or HAMP. The goal was to get lenders to adjust loans for borrowers. But housing counselor and foreclosure attorney Jody Woodsmith says the program is a failure, in part because of the problem has widened from people who got loans that had hidden financial booby traps to people who had safe loans but then lost their jobs and their ability to pay.
HAMP was set up originally to deal with the subprime loans and the interest rates that were resetting. But then we've moved into the unemployment and the negative equity situation, and HAMP is not keeping up with the changes in the economy. And so if we had some changes, I think it would work a lot better.
Such as?
HAMP needs to be a law and not a contractual arrangement. It needs some teeth that allow the homeowners to sue for violations, and it needs fines for the servicers who don't cooperate. But mostly it needs enforcement provisions stronger than taking away $100 or $300 per case for lenders that don't follow the guidelines. If the legislature would only talk to the housing counselors across America, they would get a better understanding of what the problems really are. It can be fixed, but I think it's going to take a little bit of thought to do it.
So a call from a housing counselor to make a program a law. But meanwhile, banks are fighting new laws and regulations to curb the very practices that caused the meltdown. Gretchen Morgenson has been doggedly following the story in her New York Times finance column, Fair Game. Her latest book is Reckless Endangerment, How Outsized Ambition, Greed, and Corruption Led to Economic Armageddon. Gretchen, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
Robin, how are you today?
I'm good.
You know, it's so sad because we are really seeing this this careen out of control. And a lot of people, I think, thought that it would be over by now. 4 years ago was when the housing market started to come unglued, but we are still in the depths of it. And in fact, one very astute analyst, Lori Goodman at Amherst Securities, has predicted that by the time this thing is all done, there will be 11 million foreclosures. Hmm. That's one in five homeowners. Hmm. So we are still in the thick of it, unfortunately.
Well, what do you think went wrong? This housing counselor that we spoke with also said that she came across people, homeowners, who didn't want to change their lifestyles, you know, so there's fault on that end as well. People who didn't want to cut back so that they could make payments, you know, fault to go all around. But she's largely blaming lenders who just refused to cooperate.
I get a ton of emails in my email box from people who are experiencing exactly these kinds of problems from all kinds of banks. You know, the major banks, the top four servicers, they really are either unwilling to do the work or unable to do the work. Whether they have hired enough people to do it, I think, is a question. But I completely agree with the thesis that there should be some enforcement and some teeth in this, because right now it's just a, quote, program that they can participate in, and the numbers of horror stories that I hear are just legion.
Well, but we get an idea of how teeth might work, because meanwhile, there is regulation with the Dodd-Frank bill, the financial overhaul. There are new rules, and bankers are already fighting those. Your column this weekend was entitled Some Bankers Never Learn. Walk us through some of these examples and start with the requirement in the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul that banks simply make sure people can pay before they give them a loan.
Doesn't that sound amazingly banal? I mean, should we have to legislate the idea that banks should give loans to people so that they can be repaid? But that was how crazy things got, Robin, during the mania. It was all about originating loans that were extremely profitable to the bankers, and then they sold them to investors in pools of mortgages known as securitizations. So there was no accountability along the way in that assembly line, and you just got a tremendous race to the bottom where it was more about volume than about quality. Well, regulators are trying to change that now, and Dodd-Frank goes a bit of a distance to doing that, but of course the banking community, the Mortgage Bankers Association, are really arguing strenuously against some of the proposed rules that our financial regulators have come up with.
But Gretchen, what do you say? I mean, it used to be, as you write, as everybody knows, we always remind ourselves of this, you know, It's a Wonderful Life, you know. It used to be when a bank sold you the loan and owned the loan, it was in their interest that you pay it back. We now know that they're, you know, now buying and selling the loan, so they really may be less concerned if you pay it back. But at some point, you know, to require a lender to find out if somebody has a job, if they can make a certain amount of a down payment, and this is what some of the suggestions are, that their total debt not exceed a certain amount of their income. These seem like simple requirements. What is the industry arguing against these things?
Well, what the industry says is that these are too onerous, that these are too stringent, these regulations that were actually the way loans used to be made. And anybody who holds on to a loan would want it to be repaid. But you see, during the mania, banks were really only interested, and lenders were only interested in the fees that were generated by customers taking on the mortgages and by Wall Street buying the mortgages from them to pool into these securities. So it became not so much about repayment of the loan as the fees that they could make by simply underwriting the loan. So government says, the Federal Reserve says, okay, a consumer's debt to income monthly should not exceed 36% of their income on a monthly basis. And, you know, this is very sensible. It means that the loan could be repaid because other obligations that that consumer has will not be so onerous that they won't have to be able to put food on the table. Or, you know, then there is an element of the rule that says that fees cannot exceed 3% of the total amount of the loan.
Let's talk a little bit about this. This is the origination fee in particular. This is the amount of money buyers pay the banks for doing the deal. It's, you know, they originate it, and so you pay them for that service. Regulators saying it should be less than 3%, especially for low-risk mortgages. And federal officials looking at mortgage loans said that those with origination fees above 3% were more likely to be problem loans. And by the way, is that because banks could charge people more who were desperate for a loan?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you see these kinds of high-cost loans, Robin, they absolutely add to the burden. You know, it is not something that just goes away. Usually these are rolled into the total loan because no one can pay these kinds of fees off the top. They don't have cash at the ready to pay 6% in fees. So what they do is they add it to the mortgage. And so the total mortgage grows by that amount. And yes, these are obligations that are onerous that people wind up not being able to repay. So fees have a very important place in the discussion. And yet, you know, the Mortgage Bankers Association president has objected to this idea of restricting fees to 3% or less.
Well, we want to hear more about David Stevens, who, yes, as you say, is now president of the Mortgage Bankers Association, but used to be with HUD, with the housing department. So we want to talk a little bit more about that. But he's also arguing for something called a buyer's concession, rather seller's concession, excuse me. This is where the seller can help the buyer with that origination fee if the buyer can't afford it. So if you're the seller, you can say, well, I'll defray a little of that for you. But that would automatically, it would seem, set off alarms, because if a buyer can't even afford the origination fee, aren't they going to be in trouble?
Well, this is an interesting moment, an interesting comparison, Robin, between what Mr. Stevens had said earlier on in testimony to Congress when he was FHA commissioner, which is a unit of housing and urban development. He cited data from HUD that showed that FHA, which of course insures loans, that means the taxpayer's on the hook, found that there were rising defaults, that defaults were much, much higher if this so-called seller concession were in the range of 3 to 6%.
So that's what he said when he was with the government, and now that he's with the Mortgage Bankers Association, he's for these seller's concessions. And Gretchen, as we were saying, David Stevens, now president of Mortgage Bankers Association, is one of those, you know, for some of these practices that you and others say, wait a second, are only going to get these buyers into trouble down the road. You know, what do they say in response to that research?
Well, what they say is that it really is, again, going back to the old argument that we need to increase home ownership in the country, and that home ownership is a good, it's the American dream, it's something that everyone should have access to credit. And, you know, what they say now is that it is something that is being really curbed, dangerously stringent, because we don't have lenders willing to make loans today. And so we need to make sure that we don't cut off access to credit with these kinds of rules and regulations. And I just find that to be an interesting argument, because we really, really got into trouble because of some of these practices. I think that has been made painfully clear, and yet to go back to that tired argument is just, I think, very interesting.
Well, another requirement under the Dodd-Frank financial overhaul that seems so simple: if banks have investments that include riskier mortgages, they are required to own some themselves, you know, so that, as you write, they have some skin in the game. So that's another requirement that's being fought. Where do you think this is going to end up? Do you think there will be reform in just the minute we have?
You know, I think that it's unfortunate, Robin, because as you described, the HAMP program has been a failure. We have these battles going on that we don't really see. They're behind the scenes. Regulators are under enormous pressure from industry groups. Unfortunately, the moneyed interests in Washington are so powerful, and the average person just doesn't have that kind of advocacy going on their behalf in Washington. So we only can hope that regulators really understand what the importance of these rules, and that they hang tough and, you know, object to these arguments.
Gretchen Morgenson, business columnist for The New York Times, author of, again, Reckless Endangerment: How Outsized Ambition, Greed, and Corruption Led to Economic Armageddon. Her head has been exploding trying to tell us about the ongoing housing crisis. Gretchen, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Robin.